He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarc, and this is Car Keys.
And Jay is back from Belgium, I believe, and he's had a little spell in Europe, so we're going to get a little bit of a update on what's going on in the European car scene, because he has...
You make Belgium sound really small.
It is really small.
I know.
That's why
but
I spoke so softly.
That's the thing, and that's the first thing that if you haven't, you know, if you're not focused on it, it is A, central, and B, there's a lot of movement around. It's not just Belgium.
No, it's the center of Europe. It's capital of Europe.
Well, anyway, yes. So let's let Jay start and tell us all about the Volkswagen pickup, which I saw at the auto show. I cannot tell from Jay's description, and I'm not sure you can tell from my description of what I saw, that it's the same vehicle that might show up in the U.S.
I doubt it. If it were to be, it would already be here. And honestly, I don't know. Ford and Volkswagen have a lot of joint ventures in Europe. And have had for the last 20 years on mostly light commercial
vehicles, and
light commercial vehicles. So this Volkswagen pickup truck is, you know, the size of what we call a compact truck, like same as the Chevy.
The Honda,
the Chevy. What's the name? The small pickup truck?
A Canyon.
Yeah, that's a
that's the
see how
GMC,
much I
actually
versed into
Colorado
pickup trucks.
Is the GM is the Chevrolet version, and the Canyon
the Colorado
is the GMC.
And the Canyon. Yeah. I want to be a namer.
Robin is becoming really a specialist in pickup trucks. So that's why, hence the interest in this Volkswagen. Now it looks pretty cool. It has the front end. The front end looks a little like our Volkswagen Atlas, and it's powered mostly by a V6 TDI, which of course we're not getting in here in the U.S. anymore either. But, you know, if you like pickup trucks, it's a cool pickup truck. What else was...
The diesel is also an excellent engine for pickup
trucks. How come they can get V6 and we can't?
Well, because they can get diesels.
And Europeans are still buying diesels, and the price of diesel fuel is not any more so any different than the price.
It's very equal to gasoline and prices.
Same way in Canada.
I just looked. I was reading this morning about car sales in Europe, and yes, diesel car sales have gone down, and gasoline car sales have gone up. Interestingly, the cars that are remaining diesels are the higher powered cars, and we've talked about this before. Audi's S line in Europe is exclusively a diesel. Line of cars, and that's
their
sports
line,
cars.
And
say.
What about the so-called bans, etc., that are supposed?
Well, the bans affect older cars, but basically all the diesel cars that have come out in the last 5 or 6 years are pretty much up to spec when it comes to emissions. But I think the Europeans are paying the price of our diesel gate, as well as the fact that the older cars were polluting a lot more than we ever thought they did, and obviously there are a lot of older diesel cars around.
I also think, to interject before I don't get any time to interject, is that I think the diesel-powered vehicles in Europe are probably using much of the same Bosch-tuned or programmed technology that allowed the diesels to pass tests on their cars, alleging that they were clean. But in fact, when they were not running at the test procedures or through the test procedures and out on the highway, as they discovered here in the U.S., they were polluting. And so that's why I think Jay comments that they are going through the same testing procedures or the same stringent review procedures as they ended up doing over here. And there's still some doubt in my mind that even gasoline engines are actually operating properly under all circumstances. Jay and I have discussed this, and I'll bring it up for anybody who's interested in listening to it, which may not be any more than three of us. That it seems to me that I am noticing when cars are under full acceleration, such as in passing me on the highway and all that, that there are a lot of pollutants coming in my air intake.
We've talked about this. It never happens to me because nobody ever passes me.
Well, yeah, but he's doing it. But he's doing it to other people.
But let me ask. This is a slightly different question. Because let's just say the great and the good specialize in having people, you know, having wires not touch, because that's the whole plan. All of these big environmental politics issues.
Yeah.
How does that fit in with what's currently happening with vehicles?
I don't think it is.
But that's what I mean about the wires.
I think this testing situation, this pollution situation, which I'm getting more interested in, because as cars go by me and I start breathing in their exhaust as they've passed me going up Smith Hill in Salisbury, for example, or even on a turnpike or something like that, and pulling over in front of me, I'm starting to look at what the cars are that are doing this, because some of them are new vehicles. They may not be 2019-20, but I can't tell some of the 19s from the 18s or the 17s. But they are definitely not older vehicles that are sending very toxic or nauseous outflow from their pipes, and they're coming right in. Anybody who lets you, you know, you have your air intake on outside air, it's going to come right in, because that's what you're driving into as they pass by you and then go into your lane. And they are, it's very noxious. And I'm really wondering whether it's, you know, it used to be catalytic converters with certain gasolines would send out fairly noxious smelling exhaust. And it could be a catalytic converter situation, but it's, you can tell when the
but it's
fumes
normal.
Are not
I mean, we
clean.
Read about that, you know,
it's
a few months
normal.
Ago.
3, 4, 5 years ago, you didn't smell them the way you do now.
What's and it, I think in, the is there another additive or something in
not
the,
in cars?
Okay.
No, but gasolines put new different additives in them periodically to try to sell more gasoline. And Exxon's got something, Synergy, they call it. Shell has had something for a long time, and sometimes it's only in the super grades, and sometimes in all grades. But if the exhausts are going to smell the way they are, I'm not going to be as interested in driving around a lot, because it's getting to be quite constant. And you can put your intake on recirculation if you can get it there before the fumes get in your intake. But it's not pleasant, and I think probably a lot of people are noticing it but don't really know what it's coming
no,
from.
No, they're too busy on their tablets.
Okay, move on, Jill. You want to go somewhere else?
Back to Europe.
Back to Europe. Let's go back to Europe. Okay, Jay.
So cars are still the same. You know, I go there once or twice a year. You know, we see a lot of sedans, a lot of wagons, a lot of diesels. What did I see for cool cars?
How about electrics this school? Time around?
Oh, a lot of electrics.
Are there Teslas? Are there other Teslas?
I saw the first Tesla. Remember the Tesla that was based on the Lotus Elise, the sports car.
Really?
So before launching the Model S,
two-door?
Back in 2010, 11, something like that.
I don't remember.
Tesla sold a small sports car, which was based on the Lotus Elise. And there were very few of them, of course. It was pretty expensive. It was fast. It was cool. And I've only seen one. I saw one in Florida back in 2010 or 11. And I saw one in Belgium just last week.
This is two of the 10 I just mentioned. Might be the total number of those.
How many were there?
I honestly don't know. There were not very many. I mean, it was not a car that was
more
mass
than 10?
Produced. Yeah, more than 10.
Less than 100?
No, probably more than 100.
Well,
probably
did you
less
see
than
Audi
10,
e-trons?
I did not see Audi e-trons. I did see Volkswagen full electrics with fake tailpipes on them, which I thought.
You think those are aftermarket installations?
No, I think they're Volkswagen part of the design cues. You know, those squarish little rectangular exhaust tips that we all have, including.
But they're blacked up, so you couldn't.
No, they're nice and chrome, but.
But not pointless.
Obviously,
useless,
totally right. Pointless.
Well,
somebody's got a good sense of humor.
Okay. I saw an Audi e-tron in Fairfield, Connecticut over this last weekend.
The new one.
The new one.
Yeah.
Black. And it had e-tron on the back, and it had a dealer plate on it, and I do not know whether it was out for a test drive with a potential buyer, or whether it was just a salesperson or a dealer person driving somewhere because he wanted to drive it. And it's an Audi. You can tell it's an Audi because Audi has a very distinctive look in all their vehicles, front or rear. But it had the e-tron sign on it, insignia on it, and it didn't have any tailpipes. It looked like a very nice car. And I said, great for Fairfield, great for the local driving thing. And it's got a fairly good range, I think. I can't remember what it is, but it's in the mid to high 200s as opposed to the low 200s, I believe. But it doesn't matter as long as you stay in the city.
That's already a day late now. Tesla just came up with an upgraded version. You saw that, right?
400 miles, I think.
370.
370.
We're talking real range now. Mm-hmm. 370 miles with the updated powertrain on the S model.
Well, I will give you an update on my neighbor in my summer place in Westport, Mass, who has the Model 30?
Three.
And he has been driving it quite a bit, and we discussed range anxiety, and he brought it up because he has had a couple of cases of range anxiety, but in general, he is very pleased with his 3. He drove it over to Hudson, New York, a couple of weekends ago, and
he did
charge it. Oh, from where he was coming from, Milton, Massachusetts, which is the Boston area, so it was close to 200 miles, I guess, or by the time he went all the way across, I'm not sure.
So he then charged it when he was in
Hudson?
He
did find a charging, well, I think he charged it at his guest, at his host place with a regular cord, and he does say that with a regular cord, it takes, from a full discharge, it could take over 24 hours to get it up to a full charge, which sometimes full now is between 80 and 100%, because they're apparently not recommending that you charge these batteries up to 100%.
But presumably all of this, if somebody goes back to the archives and plays this show, this is all going to be moot. The technology has got to exist
already. It will all be moot.
To supercharge this stuff.
It will all be moot when you can go up side roads off main roads and find charging stations everywhere you go when you want to go exploring in a canyon. And that's going to take decades. The charging stations obviously are coming online all over the place on a consistently basis. Right now, Tesla has exclusive charging stations for their vehicles. You cannot, as far as I know, plug a General Motors Bolt or a Toyota electric or a Prius into a Tesla station.
Give it a couple decades. We'll get there.
But that means
gas stations in the whole country.
Yeah. It just means that nobody that wants to go across country or on a quick trip to Florida or anywhere that's above 500 miles a day is going to get there as quickly as you can with the conventional or hybrid vehicles that are not plug-in.
By the same token, if you're driving around, if you go short distances and you're in a community where, you still like to drive, but it's not, it's perfect.
Well, you do.
I'm thinking of Phoenix for.
I was thinking about that. I read. I'm going on a slight tangent, but I'll get. Kind of linked to electric vehicles. The U.S. Post Office is actually. Has their
electric fleet.
The fleet of those postal vehicles, those
trucks,
whatever you call them, the little shoe boxes
that
are always always on the back of a tow truck.
Mm-hmm.
when they break down.
They were built, now I forget who built them, but they were built, the last one was built in the early 90s. I mean, it's
and they've had bids out for the next
generation. Yes,
they
sort
of look like little pandas.
Six manufacturers are bidding.
And is there an electric one in the books?
I don't think so. And that's what is mind-boggling to me. That would be the prototype of vehicle that should be electric.
Because you take them back to the...
They run in the morning, they come back, they don't run until the next day.
And there are some cities that have all electric buses going right now that apparently can run for the full for their full work time schedule on a daily basis before they need charging. God knows how heavy the battery packs and how many batteries are in there, but if you can do one of these transit in-city buses and have it run through its 6 or 7 hour schedule on one charge, that's pretty good. And that's where they should be used too.
It's a $6 billion contract over the next 20 years. They're going to produce, the idea is to produce, 180,000 vehicles over 6 years, and then spare parts and maintenance for 20 years.
Electric vehicles?
No, for this fleet
for
of
the regular
postal vehicles.
Oh, boxes.
I'm presuming there's about 180,000 of those vehicles out there right now. Probably half of them are not running, but that's another issue altogether. They don't get better mileage than 10 miles to the gallon. We all know that they pollute way more than any other vehicle on the road, including any Volkswagen out there.
Right. I do not know who builds the engines that are running them. Do you?
I'm not sure. Have engines? No. Is that because you can hear... it's a sound, because I'm very attuned to the
sound. They're not high technology, that's for sure.
You also wonder why they have to have a spec-built vehicle. I mean, there are commercial vehicles out there that would probably fit the mold, in my opinion.
Like Jeeps.
At this point.
No. Keep the right-hand drive, as many postal delivery people in rural areas use.
The Nissan little van, the one they use for New York taxis.
Yeah.
It's a very narrow vehicle. I mean,
that's the sort of thing that you want for side streets.
I don't know why they have to. Somebody's making money on that.
Of course they are. Hello. Right, but it's also really curious that they aren't going straight to electric.
It should be
The cost factor is probably when they bid things, the cost of electric battery packs would come down markedly if they did supply the postal service with these square boxes. But whether they could get the bids to come down in advance of the price coming down is anybody's guess.
It just sort of makes you wonder what's really, once again, about the little wires touching. You know, if you really want to make this feasible, there are about five things that any marginally thinking person could come up with and then implement. But if you don't want it to happen, there are lots of ways for that too.
Well, let's go to Mini Cooper, because they may go to all electric. I've got the fun to drive electric car open in this latest issue of Motor Trend magazine, and it says it will look like a Mini, and most important, it will drive like a Mini, and indeed the pictures are of a Mini. All electric.
A regular Fiat Mini? Supposedly a shrunken just a normal Mini now?
There it is. It is
not a
Fiat
country
500
man.
Is supposedly has a Mini, and it and I haven't seen
those
any
toy
of those
cars
around.
Are dead. Okay,
well,
let's just be.
You know what else is dead? The Smart 4.2 is leaving this the U.S.
Leaving these shores.
Yep,
it has not
made it, and while the dealers in San Francisco are lamenting its loss because they say it's a perfect
why don't they make those the
Francisco?
Postal.
Well, I think you should submit a suggestion to the U.S.
Why don't
Postal
they
Service.
Refit them completely?
I'm not sure they can fit enough postal mail
no.
in them.
No, okay, but that's another thing, the smart
Nobody
car.
Needs to get mail anymore anyway. That's a whole other thing.
Correct.
Do you know what is really
interesting?
No, actually, really interesting. We have noticed in the last, I've been saying this for several months. I've been saying this for over a year to, comments like that. We have noticed a massive influx of people actually sending their mail, handwritten, to the radio station when they want something to be played, because at this point, in the same way that no one bothers to listen to their voicemail and no one looks in their email, there is actually I don't want to use the word return, but an understanding that actually having the tangible item and is sucking it up and having it paid for.
Well, I like the tangible item of a magazine in my hands rather than trying to read it online like Jay does. I just cannot read on a small screen.
Well, it just it does different things with the
general,
brain. So I think
it
there's
further
room.
Disturbs, takes you away from your business part of your day when you're using your phone, when you can look at mail on your
Not to mention what it would do to your neck. I mean, I'm just amazed, or your wrist, so. But
that's good to know that the station's getting mail, and the Postal Service will remain in business to get us mail. I like using mail, and I use it, and Jay looks at me like
exactly.
I'm obsolete.
Right, and me.
Pretty much.
pretty much.
But it sort of reminds me of the cashless conversation and how there's an entire generation that thinks, we'll have cashless stores.
Can we go back to the cars for the
I was going
to
ask
cashless
you a minute
cars.
Here.
Jay, do you want to finish
cash
on
isn't
the European
going anywhere.
Stint?
No, I could go on forever. I mean, I'll say this every time. I'm always mind-boggled. It's mind-boggling to see that actually people, I just said this before the show, drive on the right side of the road. And Robin was asking me, you mean the right as opposed to left? The correct side of the road.
Right.
Yes. And it works. Drive in the right lane, middle lane to pass one over, two lanes to pass it. It's unbelievable the amount of traffic. There's a lot more traffic there than there is. Like, say, in our neck of the woods
here. And to that point, I was on 95 north and south over this last weekend, going from southeastern part of Connecticut up into Massachusetts. And I actually saw the sign saying passing on right is illegal somewhere along the line. And as I looked at that sign, I think it was one sign on the whole stretch of 95 that I saw it, at least where I saw it. I was in the middle lane. It was a three-lane section of 95, which is not consistently there the whole length. But I was in the middle lane, and
here
we
go. I mean, this is the
number of people.
50 different states, 50 different laws. You know, in some states, the law is you must drive in the right lane except to pass.
And that, who to me reads that sign and does it? I would like. I've never seen people read the signs and then move over if they were going.
And in other other states, you may pass on the right, like in New York State, it is totally legal to pass on the right. And in some states, you cannot. And then
you've got people who decide, just like coming back from New York last week, you know. So, I'm here. No, I'm going to weave here. I'm weaving.
That's consistent, especially when you got people trying to get somewhere fast, and they have to do that because
think of it. The bright side of that is that if they're weaving, they're actually probably awake, somewhat, and maybe paying a little attention.
No judge of car length, none. I'm absolutely mystified.
That's true. But if they know what they're doing,
if you're going,
and driving,
if the speed differential is great enough, and you cut at an angle, you can actually get through.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not condoning the maneuver by any
If you
means.
Know what you're doing, I don't care.
It does, no, I do care. Even if you know what you're doing. I mean, I know I can do it. It's wrong. It's dangerous.
And it's annoying. Yeah. But other than that.
Well, especially.
So the other thing, back to Europe one more time. People drive a lot more aggressively than here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was, you know,
You're an aggressive driver. Come on.
I'm an aggressive driver, but I try not to let the emotions get to me.
Right.
I think they can drive aggressively without getting emotionally charged. So everybody's fighting for a position, and everybody's
rotaries,
going
right?
fast, like rotaries, going into intersections, passing. But there's no red mist, as we call it in racing. I mean, they're not upset. If you pass somebody and cut in front of them, that, you know, okay, you win, I lose, till the next time. And things move pretty well.
Well, to that point, would you say that they do not, the people being passed do not try to speed up as they are being passed, like it so often seems to happen here? Example, going from here from the station to Lakeville, and you're on 41 and you have limited passing zones, and you're behind somebody who's going 45 in the 50-mile-an-hour posted speed limit, and you start out and you don't have a high-powered passing car to do it, and you start out and it seems to take longer to get by that person. By the time you're going by him, you're going 55, he's going 55 because he's keeping up with you. And then he stays sort of behind, he or she stays behind you for his particular distance after you've done the passing, and you sit there and say, why didn't you go that speed?
If you've just gone that speed, I wouldn't have passed you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a really annoying American driver habit. And Jay, I think you would agree with me.
Totally agree with you.
Totally agree with me.
Okay, make a note.
Which they don't do that in Europe, though, you're probably saying.
Well, I think maybe a little less so.
Well, they ought to let you pass. If they know you're passing, why speed up to try to be annoyed that you're being passed? Like is what I think was just alluding to in the American scene here.
Because you're not annoyed.
Because you're not annoyed.
A, you're not annoyed, and B, you're pretty much going. Everyone is driving reasonably aggressively, so you're not.
There's a lot of less distracted driving going on in Europe, and you don't see cell phones in people's hands?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason being a lot more things happen. You drive on much narrower roads.
Yeah.
You're constantly, things are happening all the time and at a much faster pace than they do in a lot of cases here. And we're, you know, I'm comparing, you know, metropolitan areas in Belgium with our, you know, driving here in rural areas in the northwest corner of Connecticut, which is not the same as driving in around New York or any big city here, where a lot of things happen as well.
As we're closing, are the cars in Europe still more proportionally appropriate to the road sizes than we might have here?
A lot smaller.
Even though they're big versions of
compact
the
SUVs look big.
Right.
I mean, that's how. I mean,
you're not seeing a lot of BMW 740s and all that in the numbers that we have here over there, or are you?
Yes, you are seeing a lot of nice cars,
okay.
A lot of big cars. There's a reason.
Wicked Range Rovers, the big ones.
I think we've had a nice European version of this show this week, and we'll get back to more Americanized versions of the show next week. But
Jay, welcome back. Come on,
we're global, especially when we've got a global representative at the table here,
right?
Who does periodically go there and can tell us all about it.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.